talking about who we are and what we have as children of God. Are you glad to be here?
Yes.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want you to know that the same spirit that was upon Jesus is upon you. Okay. Let me try this side. The same spirit that was upon Jesus is upon you.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Fully God and fully man, yet made a decision to walk as a man and to overthrow the kingdom of darkness as a man, being led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then he ascended to heaven and gave gifts and opportunities and ministry to us here on earth. Ephesians chapter 1, if you have it, say amen. I really want to get to verses 15 through 22, but I'm going to go through a few verses here in the beginning of Ephesians chapter 1. And it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. And then verse 3 says, blessed. Everyone say blessed. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has past tense, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Blessed, past tense, it has already happened. He has blessed with every spiritual blessings. This word blessings here, the Greek translation is eulogy, mean to speak well of. To speak well of. God is speaking well of you. God is speaking well of you. He's speaking well of you. He's spoken good things about us and over us. You know what Jeremiah 29:11 says? We're going to read it, Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. Some of you just know it by heart. I'm going to read it from the New King James Version. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11 says here, and verse 11 it says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and to give you a hope. God has these great thoughts about you and I. He's spoken great things about us and over us. What did he say about us? Well, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Number one, he chose you. Hallelujah. He chose you. Messed up, in sin, didn't want to cooperate, shook your hands and fists at God, and God still said, I'm still going to choose him. I'm still going to choose her. And I'm sure the heavenly host, the angel said, why in the world would you want to choose them? They're shaking their fists at you. God says, I got a plan. I'm still choosing them. You've been chosen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's what Sister Ola felt when I chose to marry her. She said, I've been chosen. Glory to God. Woo, man, I got me a man. Amen, no. We've been chosen by God. I chose you. Let's read on. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestined us to adoption as sons, he has adopted us. In the Roman law, when the adoption was completed, the person who had been adopted had all the rights and privileges as a child born into that family. And listen, he lost all rights from his old family. In the eyes of the law, he was a new person. He was so new that all the debts and obligations connected with the previous family were abolished like they never existed. Psalms 103 and 12 said, as far as the east is from the west, he has removed our transgressions from us. Listen, we've been adopted into his family. Our old life has been abolished. It's like it never happened. It's like it never happened. The only issue is we give too much credence to the enemy who tries to remind us of our former life. I want you to know you've been adopted into a new family. That old way of living, it's in the past. You are free to live for Jesus. Stop carrying around that old garbage and all that old luggage and bags. And leave it go. Let it go. Amen? You've been adopted into his royal family. In fact, when I was a young boy and going to this church, there was a song. I won't sing it, but there was a song that says, I'm a royal child, adopted into royal family. I'm a royal child kept by the power of God. I'm an old time saints. I'm a royal child. I've been adopted into the royal family. Not just adopted. Let's read on. Verse 6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Accepted means this, to be recognized as valid. We have been validated as his sons and daughters. I'm a king's kid. I'm a king's kid. I've been validated that I belong to the king. See, there's a certain way that you walk when you understand you're children of royalty. There's a level of expectation you have when you understand you're a child of the king. You don't live your life a certain way when you understand who you are in him. I've been validated. I belong to the Lord now. You see, when I understand I belong to the Lord, there are certain things I don't spend my time with. I don't deal with that. Listen, I don't play jacks no more. There are certain things I don't do no more. I'm grown now. Amen? I don't deal with that no more. I'm grown. What else? Let's read on. It says, having to the praise and glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. We have been redeemed. Redeemed, the action of regaining a possession of something in exchange for payment or clearing of a debt. Our Lord's death was the payment that cleared the debt. We had a debt we could not pay. He paid a debt he didn't owe. He redeemed us from God's anger and wrath and said, you know, I'm going to pay the price for you. Have you ever been in the grocery line and someone ahead of you paid for your bill? Or McDonald's or Starbucks? You might say, no, we ain't did that. Huh? Yeah, pay for your bridge toll, you know, right? So we owed it, but someone else paid it. We had this debt that we have to pay ourselves, which is death, but Christ said, that's all right, I'll pay for that. That's what we have. We now can live free because our debt has been paid. As I said years before, sin is no longer the issue. It's our acceptance of what Christ has done. That's the issue. Because the issue of sin has been dealt with on the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, will you choose to accept that? If you don't, then you will still pay for your sins. I wish someone would say, I'm going to pay your mortgage off. Not one of us here today would say, no, that's all right, brother. I've only got 27 more years. I can. Amen. But watch this. Watch this. This is what is being communicated to those who are presented with the gospel of Jesus Christ in an accurate form, and they say no. What they're saying is, I'm choosing to pay that debt myself. When Christ is done, he's paid the debt already for us. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but have you ever experienced being debt-free? Oh, man. Or how about when you paid your credit card off? Man. And at the end of the month, you still had money in your bank account. You think, wow. Glory to God. We've been redeemed. He paid a debt that we couldn't pay, but he paid it. Verse 11 says, I'm going to skip. Verse 11 says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance. Everyone say amen. Being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. What it says there is that God can even take the messed up things you have done and still work it out for his glory. He works all things after the counsel of his will. Not just the good things, but all things. No matter what your past looks like, God said, that's all right. I can work it out and I'll use it for a testimony that I might receive glory. All right? We have an inheritance. We've been given something by God. We are heirs of the King. Amen? And what are we heirs of? Let's go to verse 15. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you, okay, give to us, the spirit of wisdom, everyone say wisdom, and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, oftentimes we think of the word revelation, we think of those people who are trying to maybe add things to the gospel. This revelation is not adding anything to the gospel, but it's bringing out a better understanding of what the gospel has already said. Are you following me? And so we talk about revelation. It's not adding to the scriptures. It's talking about, let me say it this way. Revelation is like this. Can you all see me? Revelation is this. So I'm going to lift the veil. Revelation is. Okay? I've got pants on. Amen? But with this robe on, you really can't see it. Right? And then what I do then, I lift the veil. Okay? And I reveal what's underneath the robe. You following me? So here's a case in point. You were saved, I don't know, 2 years ago. And you're reading the Word of God, and you got a little piece of it. And then the following year, you read the same passage of Scripture, right? And here's what happened. Huh? You got a revelation. God saw your hunger and your desire, your unwillingness to be satisfied with just reading it one time. And God saw your hunger to want to read it again, and God said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do this. We're going to lift the veil. And then you get a better understanding of the same scripture that you read the year before. You see, it's always been there, but you couldn't see it because it wasn't revealed. And what Paul was saying, part of your inheritance is the wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of God. that God begins to reveal himself to you because of your hunger for him. Now, you can be just average Joe Christian. You read it once and you say, I've read the word of God. Great. Amen. I'll pat you on the back. But when you read it again, God does this. He lifts the veil. And God will not lift the veil prior to that because, watch this, the revelation is so weighty you aren't able to handle it in year one. And so as you walk with the Lord a little while, what happens is he establishes the foundation of your heart and you can handle a little more revelation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so it's not adding scripture. The scripture is set, but it's a revelation. You can be in church and the man or woman of God shares a word. The same word you've read, but God's given that man a revelation. He shared you just, oh. And you begin, oh man, this is good. You write it down. Revelation. We need, amen. We need the lifting of the veil. No, watch. It's always been there. When God created the heavens and the earth, he created everything, right? How many got a cell phone? Cell phone, right? All right, right. So watch this. The raw materials and the physics for this were created way before Moses. It's always been there. Huh? The ability to construct an airplane and fly from San Francisco to New York, the raw materials, the physics of it has already always been there. What happened was there was a discovery made. Not a creation, a discovery. All right? And you discover, oh, what happened? God lifted the veil. And he showed you something you didn't see before. Huh? He didn't do it then because you were not prepared for the weightiness of the revelation. Are you with me? And so as you begin to seek God, God begins to reveal more and more of his character and his word to us. It's revelation. Everyone say revelation. See, revelation gives us insight to the inheritance that belongs to us. It gives us insight to the inheritance that belongs to us. Then faith goes out and explores what we have inherited. Faith then goes out and explores what we have inherited. So when my father passed away, he had land in Louisiana. He left it for us, his children, as our what? Inheritance. I pay the taxes on it every year, right? But here's the issue. Though it's mine, I do not go and explore it and see all the makeup of it. To some degree, I've become satisfied with knowing that I have an inheritance, but I do not exercise the faith to go out and do the exploration. So it's there. Are you listening to me? So watch this. There are certain verses that we know. We'll just quote one. I can do all things through what? Right. That's part of our inheritance, right? All right. But if I do not go and explore that, all I'm doing is quoting the verse. I know the verse, and to some degree, we become satisfied just knowing we have an inheritance. But we've not explored the inheritance, right? And here's the major reason why we don't explore the inheritance, because it takes a risk. Every great explorer that left, we'll say, Europe, they came over to, we'll say, the Americas, right? Took a risk, right? I don't know. They say the world is flat. I don't know. I don't know if I'm, I wouldn't go. I would. And so we become satisfied with just quoting verses, right? And not exploring the inheritance, what God has for us. So here's an example. So God said that we could speak to mountains, right, and they'd be moved. God said that we could lay hands on the sick and they'd be made whole, right? All right. And so here's an example. Mark chapter 9, the disciples are there. There's a dad who brings his child to the disciples. And man, they're trying their best. Jesus, he comes down from the Mount of Transfiguration. He says, what is all the hoopla about? And they say, well, you know, the father says, well, I brought my son to your disciples for them to cast out the devil out of my son because he's doing all type of crazy things. And Jesus said, bring the boy to me, right? And so Jesus simply cast the demon out of the boy, amen? Now remember, I said at the very beginning, the same Holy Spirit that was upon him is upon who? Oh, y'all quiet now. It's upon us. Amen. I know once you acknowledge that it's upon you and you don't do anything with it, I understand. And so they said, bring the boy to me. They brought the boy to Jesus. Jesus cast the demon out of the boy. Right? Right. The disciples, you know, how do you think they're feeling? Yeah, they is. But watch this. And so the issue is we have an inheritance that gives us the authority to make certain declarations. Okay? All right? But it takes faith to take that risk to make those declarations. You're not going to like this. We want Jesus to do it, and Jesus has said, you do it. I've given you the authority to do it. Here's what you do. Take my name and go and do it. But what we want to do is, Jesus, you do it. We'll stand back and watch. And Jesus said, no, you do it. When your kids get to a certain age, they're 11, 12, 13, and they ask you, Mama, can you put me a glass of milk? No. You better go in the refrigerator and pull your own glass of milk. Amen? You are you crippled? No. Huh? Glory to God. At a certain age, when kids were little, you know, they had diapers on, and when they were done, you did the dirty work. Amen? When he's 7 or 8, you ain't doing that dirty work. No, you would do it yourself. And so we have been commissioned by God to do the work. He's given us our inheritance, the authority to use his name, right, to make certain declarations. But we do not do it because we do not want to take the risk to explore what's in our inheritance. I'm satisfied just knowing what my inheritance is, but I do not want to take the risk to explore all the possibilities, all the enjoyment, all the pleasures of the inheritance. And so I go through my life quoting verses, which is great, but never living them out. And so we have a parcel of land, and it's there. But am I enjoying it? I'm not. Am I paying the taxes on it? I am, but I'm not enjoying it. And so we know the scriptures, but we're not enjoying the benefit of the inheritance because we do not want to take a risk. And so because we fail to take a risk, we live in this, and excuse me if I offend you, this lukewarm lifestyle. At least the disciples in Mark chapter 9 took the risk and they tried. It didn't work, but they tried. And so this is what they did when they were done. I mean, this is the key for us, because listen, when we take the risk and it doesn't turn and the results are not what we want them to be, this is what we need to do. Mark chapter 9 and in verse 28, it says this. And when he, Jesus, had come into the house, his disciples, and this is a very important phrase here in the New King James, his disciples asked him privately. Meaning this, when you make the declaration or try to explore, and it does not come out the way you want it to come out, what do? You run to your prayer closet. And you say, Lord, I don't know. I don't know, but I'm here. I need more of you. Because the issue is never on God's side of the equation. Are you listening? It's never on God's side of the equation. It's always going to be on our side of the equation. And so what we do, once we take the risk, it doesn't turn out the way that maybe we expected it to be, we go to our prayer closet and say, Lord, I need more of you. I need more. Because every time we read in the scriptures what Christ did, man, he laid hands on the sick and they recovered. It's our inheritance. It's our inheritance. It's our inheritance. It's we can no longer be satisfied with quoting scripture stating they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We have to take the risk to explore that inheritance and make the declaration over those who are sick. See, men and women of God have been given an inheritance, but we will become satisfied with the knowledge of what we own but never enjoying or using it to advance the kingdom. And because we do not take the risk, watch this. We have this much revelation, all right? But because we do not take the risk, God says, why should I reveal to them more when they're not operating in the revelation I've given to them? You get it? Right? Why am I going to give you more? Listen, you have not eaten the food on your plate. Why am I going to give you more food to eat? It would overwhelm you. And so what God is asking of us is to operate in the revelation you have. Okay? Be hungry for more, and God will reveal more of himself to you. There's a vastness of what God wants to do through this local body. Huh? In this community. This community of Benice and Vallejo is untapped. There are hundreds and thousands of men and women who do not know Jesus, who are being hampered by the enemy with sickness and poverty, homelessness and disease. And what God has called us to do as his legal agents, as his validated children, is to go into those situations and bring the kingdom of God into those situations. We can no longer be satisfied with observing the havoc and mayhem, the sickness and poverty that the enemy has caused. We must step in as a representative of another world to bring God's kingdom into that situation. It is our assignment to bring divine order into this chaotic world. But watch this. You ready? Your assignment starts first at home. And we must be willing to bring divine order into our homes. because we're called to do. That's part of our inheritance. Huh? Let me go back to Ephesians chapter 1. So I read verse 15 and 16. Verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he was raised from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. Now watch this. Verse 21 says, far above all principalities. We're not talking about natural governments. We're talking about principalities of the air in the spiritual realm. It says that he has dominion or power over all principalities, powers, and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Now what's this? Verse 22. And he put all things under his what? Say it again. Under his what? Right. And he gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his what? Which is his what? Okay. The church is what? His body. And we are the church. Right? Are the arms part of the church? Yeah. Are the feet part of it? Right. So watch this. Watch this. He put all things under his what? Feet. And gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now watch this. Principalities and powers are under his feet. We are the body of Christ. So what it's communicating there is, if we could use level of influence or status, the lowest member in the body of Christ, the lowest member in the body of Christ is still above all the principalities and powers of darkness. The lowest one, if we would use that as an example, is still above all the powers and principalities. And when you understand that you are above that, you walk differently. You talk differently. You act differently. You don't walk and live in fear anymore of the principalities and powers because you know you're above them. Glory to God. You walk on them. Listen, we don't spend a whole lot of time talking about the devil. He ain't worth it. Amen? Glory to God. He is under our feet. But you have to understand who you are in him and begin to walk and talk differently. Amen? And so when you see some issue happening in your circle, you have the authority and the right to address that issue as a representative of another world to establish the kingdom of God in that situation. Glory to God. That's why it's so important for us to understand who we are in him. So when we go to work tomorrow, we go in there knowing that, listen, I'm called to represent the kingdom of God. Huh? In the hospital room, in the classroom, in the court, wherever God has positioned me, I'm to bring the kingdom of God into that situation. Glory to God. I don't care what others say, how they look at me. I represent the kingdom of God. I am an ambassador. Huh? Sent by a king from another world to represent him on this world. Glory to God. And all powers and principalities, where are they at? Where are they at? Under your feet. So we have to walk. They're under our feet. I ain't worried about you. Glory to God. I'm a child of the King. You under my feet. You see, we cannot be satisfied with just quoting. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above, not beneath. I'm blessed going in and blessed going out. Praise God. Oh, yeah. We have to explore the realities of that scripture and be willing to take a risk and make declarations. But it first starts at home. We can no longer have wild, crazy homes. Okay, I get ready to close. Huh? Yeah. 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 Glory to God. Huh? I don't care what it takes. Get up early in the morning and pray. Amen? I know your son is not saved. I know that. Listen, you go to the Christian store and get you some oil or whatever you need to. You take that oil, you put on that pillow, lay it on his head, and you declare that boy to be saved in Jesus' name. Amen? Listen, you rebuke the enemy in Jesus' name. Amen? You've been given the authority to do that. He said, listen, guys, here's my name. Go ahead and use it. I wish Osby or somebody would give me their credit card. Man, I take that credit card. I just thought, swipe it. I'm going to Costco. I'm going everywhere. Glory to God. We've been given his name to operate. Glory to God. Start using this name. Start exploring the inheritance that belongs to you. Don't be scared. Use his name. I bind you in Jesus' name. In fact, I bind you too. And you. Glory to God. Huh? That spirit of drunkenness. I bind that in Jesus. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Glory to God. I've given you the authority to use. You use that name. Amen? Are you ready to use it? Tomorrow. No, tonight. Tonight. You're going to use that name. Glory to God. You're going to go home today, and there are some folks you know don't know Jesus. Amen? You're going to run to your prayer closet. Glory to God. Watch this. It is God's will that no one perish. So when we pray this, we know it's God's will already. We ain't going to say, well, Lord, if it's your will, we know his will. I don't want anyone to perish. So listen, you take that name of that son, that daughter, that niece, that nephew, that cousin, that auntie, you go into your prayer closet and you say in the name of Jesus, I call him to be saved. I call that spirit of drug addiction to be loosed. Whatever it is, you start binding and loosing. It is your inheritance as a man and woman of God to use his name and that name above every name in heaven and in earth. At that name, demons tremble. At that name, sickness flees. Amen. At that name of Jesus. Here's my name. Glory to God. Here's my name. Don't be satisfied with just quoting the verse, but go out and explore what my name can do. And as you do, this is what I'll do for you. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Wouldn't it be great to know what he fully looked like? The whole revelation. Hallelujah. But he knows the weightiness of the revelation. You ain't able to handle all of it yet. But soon you will. And Paul said somewhere in this chapter that you would understand the mysteries of his will, which has now been made known to us. Huh? His inheritance. Glory to God. Amen. Listen, stand to your feet, everyone. I've ran over time. Forgive me. But before I leave here today, I want to make sure there may be someone here today who needs to make it right with God. You've thought about it. You've ran for a while, but you really sense God is saying something to you today. that you want to be part of this inheritance today. The greatest miracle that can happen is the miracle of conversion. When a man and woman makes a decision to follow Jesus as their personal Savior. And so I want to give you this chance today. If God is speaking to you, don't harden your heart. Don't tell him, next week I'll do it. No. Today is your day. So every eye closed for a moment and every head bowed for a moment. If you're here and you feel the tug of God at your heart, there are two things I'm going to ask you to do. The first one is this. If you feel the tug at your heart that you're not right with him, you're not right with him, simply raise your hand because I want to acknowledge you. If you're here today and you sense that, man, I'm not right with him, not right with him, and I want to be right, yes, 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 I see you. And then secondly, if that's you, you raised your hand, I want you to meet me here at this altar. Just come away from your seat and come on down to this altar. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Mike, why don't you come on down? He's one of yours. Mike, come on down here. Come on down. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. John, I know you've given your life to the Lord before, but I sense you're saying something's just not right. And so I'm going to pray over you and that you would recognize who you are in Christ. Yeah, yeah. But before I do, anyone else, I want to give you an opportunity. Don't be hard-hearted. You have an opportunity. So, Father, I pray for John. God, he is one of yours. But God, you know what he's dealing with, whatever issue it is. And God, you have given me, us, the authority to use your name. And we rebuke everything that is not like you from off of John. Yeah. We release you from your assignment off of this young man that he might run this race according to your plan and your will. Hallelujah. God, I pray that you would fill him with your spirit, oh God. Yes, rivers of living water. Yes, coming out of your belly. Hallelujah. Yes, rivers of living water coming out of this young man. I pray the anointing of the Spirit of God to be heavy upon this man. Hallelujah. I call that unsaved men and women will hear the gospel through the voice of this man. I speak the word boldness over you and courage in the name of Jesus. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. Your head will be like a flint, hallelujah, that you won't even bother you, all the looks and what they say about you. You will just share what thus saith the Lord, hallelujah. And Father, I thank you for John and what you have done and what you are doing and what you're going to do through his life. And in the name of Jesus, I pray it. Yes, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. 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 I'm going to make one other declaration here today, and I feel strongly, I guess I had this morning, about those, it may not be you, but you may know someone who's dealing with some mental illness. And I want to speak a word of declaration over them. You know someone, anybody in here today, they're dealing with that. Yes, 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 Yes. Raise your hand up again. Hi. Who is that? Yeah. Could someone go to those people? Just lay your hands on them. Open your eyes and go to them. They've got their hands up, and we're going to make a declaration over them. Hallelujah. 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 Yeah. In the name of Jesus, I declare that those minds come into right alignment. Yes. I declare that God is giving rest for their mind, their souls. I declare rewiring of the mind. Hallelujah. To make it right, bring back into right alignment. I rebuke the hand of the enemy. Yeah, for any bipolarism, schizophrenia, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. And I call their mind to be whole. Yeah, I call the mind of Christ to replace that mind they have now. Hallelujah. Yes. And devil, I release you from your assignment off of them. And I call them to be whole in the name of Jesus. Yes. And to take their rightful place in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And Father, I thank you now, hallelujah, for the authority you've given to me through the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And the demons are trembling and they're moving now. Yes, now. Yes, they're being healed now in the name of Jesus, I pray. Hallelujah and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. David, why don't you grab a mic, David, and come up here, and you're going to give us the closing prayer. And before you give the closing prayer, anything you want to say to these fine people?
God bless you. I'm so happy that I'm part of Lighthouse. And even though I'm being discharged, but I'm still part of it.
Yeah.
I'm still part of it. And so thank you for everything that you have done, like, you know, you the teaching. I mean, you've been so great to me. You know, he put me to study. And you know, now 5 years has passed. And because of the encouragement that you have given me, I'm very confident of the accomplishment that I have made. Through God, by the blessings of you to me and then the church, thank you so much. So we pray to God and we be dismissed. Father God, we thank you for what the word that you have placed in our life, in our hearts, Lord, and the blessings. Lord, we're going to start this week and we want to start it right. And so, Lord, use us in our workplace, in our schools, wherever we go, wherever we are. And so, Lord, your will be done in our life. Thank you so much for everything. And we ask all this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you.